Speaking today with Adrian Garcia, Democratic candidate for sheriff in Harris County. We spoke before in March when you were in a contested primary, and I'll ask you again what I asked you then. Why are you running for this office?
Well, you know, Charles, now you, as much as I've heard and the general public has heard, the Harris County Sheriff's Department is strife for scandal and question, and its integrity is in question. And so I'm running to restore leadership. I'm running to restore integrity. I'm running to bring public trust back to the Harris County Sheriff's Department and make it the lead law enforcement agency in this region.
Since we spoke, you've been endorsed by all of the deputies organizations. That's an unprecedented thing. What does that say about the state of the department now?
Well, I think it says two things. One is that the hard-working deputies of Harris County believe in the leadership that I am offering to bring into the office of sheriff. And they support that. We have common visions and commitments and goals for bringing the Sheriff's Department into the 21st century. And secondly, it speaks tremendously loud to the lack of confidence that they have in the current sheriff. And so the hardworking men and women doing the job of being a Harris County Sheriff's Deputy is a tough one. And they need to know that they've got leadership. They need to know that someone is laying a vision out for the department every day, and that's what I'm committed to do for them.
Okay. Not remembering off the top of my head where this fell on the timeline, but of course everyone is aware of, you know, the Ybarra brothers lawsuit that was eventually settled by the county for a couple of $1 million. And some allegations that came out afterwards about intimidation and surveillance being done on them during the trial. I mean, sort of generally, can you speak to this? I mean, what went wrong here?
Well, I think what went wrong is going to the principles in my candidacy and my campaign, and that is that there was a lack of leadership, a lack of direction, and a lack of being willing to be held accountable by the voters and the taxpayers. I think that when you begin to use your resources to effectively intimidate people from participating in a total legal process, speaks to me of unconscionable behavior and mismanagement and misdirection of that organization. I think that things have been done a certain way for too long, because that's just the way they've been done. And it's, again, when I speak to bringing this organization to the 21st century, it's about the principles that are important to today's society: accountability, transparency, public trust, relationships, active and healthy relationships with the community, not hesitating to go into neighborhoods where people are either happy or not so happy. I mean, in this business, you got to be willing to answer the community's questions in the good times as much as in the bad times. And so I think what went wrong there is, again, the lack of leadership and the lack of ability to lay down a direction and an example that you want your deputies to follow.
When you talk about things like accountability and transparency, are there procedures that need to be put in place to ensure this that don't exist today, or do those procedures exist and they just haven't been enforced?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think principally I understand that there's a lot of volume of policies and procedures that the department has, but if the top of the organization is not following them, then how can you expect it to trickle down throughout the organizations? The policies in my administration will be respected. They will be, in part, how we govern ourselves. But principally speaking, the way we govern ourselves is to remember that we are public servants, that we have taken an oath of service and to uphold the laws of the community and to enforce the laws. And enforcing the criminal laws is just one aspect of the job of a public law enforcement officer. I believe the other side of it, too, that we've got to protect the constitutional laws of this community as much. And so this is in part what I think we need to work towards, and making sure that the policies that are there are respected and are followed from the top all the way to the bottom.
Okay. Sheriff's Department, like HPD, like many other law enforcement organizations, you know, is shorthanded. The jails are understaffed. What do you intend to do about that?
Well, first of all, you know, every day I'm spending time with professionals and various people and that have expertise and training and academia, looking for solutions to this issue. I have always felt that in this region of 4 million people, that we could find 1,000 new people that want a career in law enforcement. I believe and will actively communicate as the head of the Harris County Sheriff's Department that it is a noble career and one full of promise. And so I think that there are ways, and I am in the process of developing a plan jointly with the Harris County Deputies Organization, seeking their advice and their input on things that make sense. There are things that I believe that will net us the personnel that we need almost immediately. And so I'm anxious to put that plan in place when I take office and demonstrate to the citizens of Harris County that when you bring in a fresh perspective, an open mind, a willingness to communicate with your rank and file to hear their input. You know, leadership doesn't necessarily have to come from the top. There is a lot of smart and very intuitive people that are doing the heavy lifting every day, but do not wear stripes, bars, or stars on their shoulders. And so having had those many discussions since I announced my candidacy, because I knew full well and well that manpower for the Harris County Sheriff's Department was a very, very key issue in this campaign. Since then, I have developed a plan and a direction to follow, and I'm anxious to implement it.
Okay. It's my understanding that the University of Houston has a law enforcement training program that can be used to certify deputies, but isn't currently being used by the sheriff's office. Can you comment on that?
Yes. I mean, well, Charles, first let me tell you that here's reality. This is a fact that there are good people that are current employees of the Harris County Sheriff's Department that are going to the University of Houston to improve themselves on their own time and on their own dime. I'll say that again. On their own time and on their own dime, not on the taxpayers' money per se. And they are going to the University of Houston, a respected and accredited institution of higher learning, to improve their standing within the criminal justice industry. They're not going there to learn to become lawyers or accountants or whatnot. They're going there because they have their heart is committed to public safety, and they want to serve the public in that regard. And so they're going on their own time and their own dime to achieve that certification, just to have the Sheriff's Department tell them that they're not welcome there as deputies. So they are then going out to other agencies. And I think that's a tremendous brain drain. I think that's a tremendous morale problem. I think that's a tremendous waste of taxpayers' money. And it is, I think, a tremendous disrespect to those individuals who, again, on their own dime and on their own time, are seeking to improve themselves and put themselves in a position to better serve the public the public's interest. And so I'm very familiar with it. I think that there's ways that commitment by those individuals can and should be respected by the Sheriff's Department.
Now, the jails have been under review by the State Board, and I believe also by federal
currently under federal investigation.
For issues having to do with overcrowding, with unsanitary conditions, so on and so forth. Can you address this? What's your plan to deal with that?
The other most catastrophic situation that the Harris County Jail is being scrutinized for and is under current investigation by the federal government is the number of in-custody deaths that are occurring in the Harris County Jail. I believe that the number from 2001 to present is somewhere in the neighborhood of 134 people have died in custody. We know that in custody deaths occur, but when you have an aloof attitude that says that you know, can't help it if people come in here unhealthy, and people have physical conditions that prompt their deaths, there's nothing I can do, and per capita more people die in the free world than they do in custody. And that type of attitude does not speak well for the fact that you are charged with the public's interest of dealing with human beings who have made mistakes. So the plan here is, Charles, to seek experts across this country, to seek the best practices that are being implemented across this country. I have already visited with leading law enforcement experts across the country who also have significant jails that they are responsible for, twice the size of the Harris County Jail, seeking their advice on how to handle these issues. And what I have found are examples of transparency, openness, and that the community and experts in the industry have access to help the agency do better every day. It's a tough business. It's a tough responsibility. But you know, when one death occurs, it should be an alarm to review your policies and your practices. It should be an opportunity to improve. It should be an opportunity to ask questions of yourself. What am I doing that I haven't done? What could I be doing better? But yet, it feels like the current administration uses these situations rather to give as an opportunity to give a lesson as to why people die in custody. That's not what we need to know. We need to know that you are doing your best, and that that there is no effort being wasted on protecting the individuals that you have mandated constitutional responsibility over. And so my plan is, one, to seek leading experts, and I'm already, having those conversations almost on a daily basis, because I know that the situations and the conditions of the Harris County Jail will be probably my biggest challenge in becoming sheriff of Harris County. But by the same token, I will be seeking the support and working actively with the Harris County District Attorney and the judiciary to see what we can do to deal more effectively with low-risk offenders and people who are currently not being awarded bonds so that they can go on with their lives while they await their day in court. There are things that we could be doing, I think, that could help some of this, some of the situation in terms of overcrowding. But by the same token, I've committed to those agencies in the mental health community to be my advisory, my active advisory, to make sure that we take every opportunity not to criminalize someone's psychological condition. I have already put programs in place with the Houston Police Department that are, I believe, model programs for jail diversion, making sure that that when we identify someone who has a mental illness, that we are then directing resources to them so that a police officer doesn't have to deal with them again. I mean, doesn't that make sense? And so these are things that I have worked as my time on council, and there are going to be programs that I'm going to work to implement with the Sheriff's Department. But it's also, the willingness to open your, be an open book to those that have interest and expertise and potential advice in this area. And so I am reaching out to the mental health community. In fact, I have a roundtable discussion set in the near future to seek their advice on what policies and practices currently are non-existent that on day one I can implement and do better just by virtue of the stroke of the pen.
You kind of anticipated some of the other questions I had in mind, but let me come back to some of the things you touched on there about low-risk offenders. It has often been said, I've been one of the people saying that, we have people in the jails who don't necessarily need to be there. People who, in years past, might have been released on their own recognizance, people who might have been, given access, better access to bail. What role do you play in that, as opposed to the judiciary and the district attorney, in ensuring that the people who are in the jail are the people who really need to be there?
Well, first of all, there is some aspect of those that are in custody that I will happen to be just the custodian of, by virtue of the way that the district attorney's office executes their functions and the way the judiciary executes their functions. However, my time on council has taught me that if you say nothing, nothing changes. That if you do not advocate for your district, you don't get public investments and you don't get public improvements. That if you do not stand up and use your office as a point of education and information sharing and advocacy, nothing changes. And so I plan to use some of the things I've learned on council to be a partner with the judiciary and the district attorney's office to share with them data of what I have and encourage us to do pilot initiatives to see where we can affect change and to use potentially law that is now available that maybe we don't use. And so part of what has been lacking is that there has been just too tight of a relationship between the judiciary and the district attorney's office and the Harris County Sheriff's Department. I think we need to continue to do our functions, but we need to remember that at some point we have to step aside of the outside the circle and be the advocate and be the elected officials that the people are asking us to be. And so, by the same token, Charles, I'm a strict law and order guy. I mean, I believe in enforcing the law. I'm a policeman at heart. And I've been asked about the issue of writing citations for personal amounts of marijuana. Having grown up in law enforcement, if you will, I joined the Houston Police Department when I was 19 years old. And having come up in the industry and grown up in it and having, put people in jail, many people in jail for personal amounts of marijuana, it is being asked the question today is a little bit of a clutch, gear grinding. It doesn't sit well with the experience that I came up with. However, what I have told folks that are advocating for such a practice is that if they will step into my shoes, I will step into theirs. Meaning that if they will help me resolve the concern that I have, how people using personal amounts of marijuana have created tremendous damage and chaos and harm and injury to family as much as to community, and that writing a citation and letting that person walk off is the best practice, then I'll keep an open mind. But I think what we need to do is, again, using the office of the sheriff, is to encourage the legislature to bring investment into our community for intervention programs, for prevention programs. So that way, when my deputies, if I do decide to embrace such a policy of writing those citations, that I know that my deputies can refer these individuals to particular agencies for treatment and rehabilitation, and not just letting them walk off the street and then possibly break into more cars or more homes or go out and rob or steal or something of that nature. That it just creates a different cycle at a different level. So this is just to help you know that I am keeping an open mind on these issues, but by the same token, I've learned on council that government's job is to do something. Doing nothing is unacceptable. And by the same token, I think that when we work hard to put each other in each other's circumstances, we come up with good answers and good solutions and good ways of getting things done. And that's what I expect to do.
Okay. As you know, there was a vote last year to pass bonds to build more jails. That was voted down. Commissioner's Court has looked at some stripped down proposals for that. You know, if you think you can, if you can succeed in, you know, working with the district attorney's office, working with the judiciary, advocating for, you know, smarter policies in not warehousing as many low-risk offenders, do you still feel that, that more jail space is necessary, or do you think the problem can be solved without it?
I think some degree of the problem can be solved without it, but the reality is also that our region is growing. But I think that if, you know, we need to be good stewards of data that we I think we have. In other words, let's look at who we have in custody, and let's see if we can manage our resources wisely, so that we are maximizing their use. Number one, but number two is so that we understand what our needs are. In other words, if the mentally ill account for 24% of the Harris County jail's population, then do we have a legitimate 24% capacity of bed capacity and things of that nature to effectively serve that population? And if we have 11% of that population that has critical levels of mental illnesses, what's our resources in that regard? And then if we have 30% that are first-time offenders and low-level offenders that aren't getting bond, you know, what is their true risk classification for returning to court and things of that nature? So we have to be, I think, you know, we have to pay attention to the data and make good decisions to that. So I'm not prepared at this time to say that we do not need more jail capacity. I don't know the age of the jails. I don't know what the capacities within each are. I hear stories that when the folks doing the state or federal jail reviews, that the sheriff's department puts inmates on buses and drives around the loop until folks walk through the halls and complete their investigations, or put them in basements where they can't be seen. That's not the way I want to manage that facility. I want to make sure that it's open and transparent, and that we are being forthright with the good, bad, and the ugly. It's the only way to be a good public servant. And so I think once we look at the data, and that will be, you know, understanding and getting my arms around the Harris County jail circumstances will be priority one on day one. And once we have that jail, then I plan to issue reports so people can understand the profile of a person in custody looks like, and what their risk assessments are, and then sit down with the judiciary, sit down with the district attorney, and say, and the county judges and the commissioners, and say, look, we need to develop a better plan for doing this, and not a, you know, a patch system and process, but we need to be real. And then we need to also pay attention to the growth of the region and what academic experts say what could be the contributing factor of that growth into the criminal justice system as well.
Okay. In recent months, the sheriff's deputies have undergone training with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. What's your opinion of this?
Well, I think that there is obviously a concern that there are people who have questionable immigration status are committing serious crimes. And so I think that the programs that are being placed inside the controlled environment of the Harris County Jail are legitimate. In fact, the city of Houston was a leader before the Harris County Sheriff's Department in implementing a similar program where, you know, we are fingerprinting people and checking them against outstanding warrants by ICE. And we have been cooperating with ICE and making referrals to them. I think that that is a fair practice to do in a controlled environment. But I'll tell you something, Charles. You know, when you think about the risk of what a undocumented person brings us to this community, most people I speak to think about gangs. And human traffickers and prostitution and things of that nature and drug traffickers. Well, I plan to make sure that the deputies are aggressive crime fighters so that we are attacking crime and criminal enterprises, and so that we make sure that anybody who wants to do criminal business in Harris County will know it's not the best place to do business. And I think that in itself will alleviate a lot of that concern. We will attack crime. We will be aggressive about it, and fight those things that make sense to most people. But I think that that's where the best use of the resources can be placed, in the field. But I think that there is some that it works inside the controlled environment of the jail.
Okay. There was a recent story in the Chronicle about private patrols with the sheriff's department and going into some neighborhoods and not others. Can you comment on that?
Oh, well, you're talking about the contract deputy program.
Yes.
And in fact, at a candidates forum that I recently attended, and the sheriff did not, this became a big issue. And it is currently, and this was for a neighborhood inside the city. In the unincorporated areas of Harris County, here's my concern: that the taxpayer is being forced to dip twice into their pocket for a basic service of government that they should already be getting by virtue of the taxes that they are already paying, that they're obligated to pay by virtue of sales and property taxes. Neighborhoods, I am being told, believe that in order to get the type of service that they expect that they should get, that they are encouraged to get into these contracts with the Harris County Sheriff's Department. I disagree with that. I believe and support in the contract deputy program because the way I would run it, it would be a supplement to what people should already be getting. It should be icing on top of that cake. It should be an extra. It shouldn't be how, you know, the way of doing business. And so I have concerns with the way it's being managed right now. I have concern with how taxpayers in other neighborhoods that do not have contracts, their services may be diluted in order to comply with these contracts. What we're hearing now is that there is a real aggravated robbery of Peter by Paul in terms of, you know, approving contracts. You haven't brought in new personnel, so you take existing personnel to comply with the contract. My experience tells me that there is a federal term for that, and that's called supplanting. And I believe that it's against the rules of how you should be running government.
You are at this time still a council member in District H, and you are also mayor pro tem. Have the needs of the campaign been in conflict with your duties as an elected official?
No. No, other than that they've just been in conflict with my need for more sleep.
It's kind of late in the game, but do you foresee the need to resign from council before the election?
I do not. I mean, we're 60 days out, and we have a tremendous momentum, tremendous enthusiasm. We are getting great support from Republicans and independents in this campaign. We are seeing a lot of young people that are paying attention to the issues that are supporting this campaign. And so I am extremely excited and proud of the folks that are supporting the Adrian Garcia for Harris County Sheriff campaign. When you look at my campaign and the people supporting me, it looks like the face of Harris County. African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, Caucasians. I mean, we have the cross section of the community as a part of the campaign for Harris County Sheriff, and I'm very proud of that because I want to make sure that people know that I'm running to become sheriff of Harris County so that the department serves every member of this community and serves them with dignity and respect. And so I'm very proud of where we're at right now. We are again, tremendous momentum and enthusiasm. I am every day meeting new voters, and I am proud to say that I have the honorable support of many good people that have typically voted in the Republican aisle of the ballot. But they have listened to my campaign. They've listened to the issues that I'm raising. They're paying attention to the hardworking deputies of Harris County, of the Harris County Sheriff's Department, want, and they are willing to support their issues and their concerns. And so I'm just very honored where we're at. I think this is in part to a philosophy that my dad taught me a long time ago, and that was that if you just work hard, if you keep your nose to the grindstone, if you serve your customers effectively, then people will continue to do business with you, and people will continue to come back.
Adrian Garcia, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Great, Charles. Thank you.